Welcome to Voices of NCAJ. We're talking to members of the North Carolina Advocates for Justice about what it means to be a trial lawyer, what it takes to be great at the practice of law, and how being a part of NCAJ enriches their lives and careers. Produced and powered by Law Pods.
Welcome, everyone, to Voices of NCAJ, the podcast for the North Carolina Advocates for Justice. I am Amber Nimmix, your host and director of external affairs for NCAJ. Before we get started, I'd like to thank today's episode sponsor, Advocate Capital. Advocate is passionate about helping plaintiffs' attorneys get better results for clients, mainly through their AdvoTrack case expense funding service. It allows firms to track case expenses and recover borrowing costs, which makes the net cost of borrowing zero on cases they win. You can learn more at advocatecapital.com. My guests today are Jacob Morris and Spencer Fritz. They are both leaders within NCAJ's New Lawyers Division and NCAJ Next Fellows who graduated in the inaugural class of 2022. Last year, Jacob and Spencer started their own firm, Morris Fritz, based in Raleigh and focusing primarily on personal injury cases. It's a partnership that owes a lot to NCAJ since that's how these two partners became acquainted. And Jacob and Spencer's will be with us celebrating all things NCAJ at convention, which is coming right up in Charlotte, June 18 through 21. If you want to learn more about that and how to register, you can go to ncaj.com/convention-2025. Jacob, Spencer, thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you, Amber.
Thanks for having us, Amber.
First up, talk to me about how you two got to know each other. Were you familiar with one another before Next, or was that how you really bonded?
Jacob, you want me to take that one?
Yeah, you want to talk about Craigslist, the post you put up?
Exactly. So Jacob and I, we were a year apart at Campbell, and we knew of each other, but didn't really have that much of a relationship. Really, it was the Next class that was a pivotal part in forming our friendship. We hit it off there, and we've become friends ever since, and really just owe it to Next for us starting this firm together.
Yeah. I wasn't cool enough to run in Spencer's circles at Campbell. So wasn't until we were lawyers and both plaintiffs' lawyers that we really got to know each other. And it was definitely through traveling the state, going to different classes and meetings and events.
What are the class sizes like at Campbell Law? I guess I had a feeling that it was a smaller school, that more folks would be familiar with each other, no matter what class they were in.
So I think it's grown. I know that they just graduated the biggest class they've had. I want to say I graduated with around 150 folks, but the way it's segmented, just any law school's experience, if you're a 1L, you're like, it's like you're in a different universe than the 2Ls and the 3Ls. So I would, that's probably to blame. I'm sure Spencer and I saw each other at events plenty, but different years.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
So getting out of law school, even if you have like a bunch of classmates, you still really need, especially if you're in a smaller firm, you still really need an organization like NCAJ, right?
Certainly. The listservs have been invaluable. And just getting to go to socials together, you meet other attorneys who become referral sources for you. NCAJ is certainly important, especially for those small firms.
You know, today's not even over, right? We're halfway through the day. And I think I've been on the phone already with two or three other members across the state. One was trying to refer us a case. We'll see if that happens. But also asking questions. And we share some cases with folks too. So yeah, I don't think we would be doing this the way we're doing it without it.
That's great. That's awesome to know. So what was your participation in NCAJ like before the Next program? I'm always curious to know how good a job we're doing as a membership organization of making people feel like members from the outset. Where were you each practicing and how did you come to NCAJ and then Next?
I'll lead on this because my answer is more boring. I was minimally involved before Next. I was a member that read the emails. And that was about it.
So you do read the emails?
I do read the emails.
Good. All right. That's good. As a person who sends a lot of those emails, I'm happy to know someone is reading them.
It's funny, actually. I went to NCAJ's Professionalism for New Attorneys CLE, even though I was not a member of NCAJ, and I actually worked for a firm that I wouldn't have been allowed to join NCAJ, but that was an open CLE. So one of the first experiences I had with NCAJ was like my first year as a lawyer, or first month as a lawyer, I should say. Other than that, I had almost no involvement before Next. I applied to join Next like 6 months after I became a plaintiff's lawyer.
Okay. And how many years were you practicing before you decided to become a plaintiff's lawyer?
A little over 3 years. Yep. I was doing commercial litigation at a great firm here in Raleigh, and then got an opportunity to go represent people when they needed it. So that's what I did.
Cool. Spencer, how about you?
Yeah. So after I graduated law school, I spent 2 years at the Court of Appeals clerking with Judge Hansen, and then joined a small plaintiff's firm called Oxendine Barnes & Associates here in Raleigh. They were NCAJ members. They encouraged me to join. I did not know anything about NCAJ at that time. We worked closely with Kristen Batal, who's a well-known NCAJ member, very active, and she actually convinced me to join the professional negligence section. So I was, at that time, the, let me think about it, legal affairs chair, and then I joined the next program.
Okay. So for folks who don't know, and that's probably a lot of folks, what was the next program like for each of you? I mean, it's generally, in simple definition, it's our leadership program for new lawyers, lawyers who are, I guess, I think it's 15 years or under, or maybe it's 10 years. Anyway, it's our hope, or the goal with the program is to hopefully get younger lawyers more entrenched in the organization, and also to try to help them build their leadership skills for being involved in NEXT and or for being involved in NCAJ and any other organizations that they want to do. What was it like for each of you?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and take a first stab at that. Really, two things for me. First, professionally, it allowed me to grow within NCAJ and take on more leadership roles. I think since NEXT, I've had the chance to be membership chair for New Lawyers Division, vice chair, and I'm the current chair for New Lawyers Division. And then I am the immediate past chair of the professional negligence section. So it's really allowed me to skyrocket into leadership. But the class itself, it really gave me the opportunity to have some great, meaningful connections. I mean, we have some great friends from our class. We still have a group chat that probably there's too many texts on it, not related to law, but it's a lot of fun. And so I'm still really close with all of them and looking forward to seeing all of them at convention as well.
Yeah, obviously echo what Spencer says, but I would add, it was a great excuse for me as a young lawyer to get up from behind my desk, which I'm no stranger to doing, and going to hang out with other young lawyers across the state and learn about their practices, to see there are different ways to represent clients, to do litigation, to appear in court, and to Spencer's point, to network. And I mean, we still talk weekly with our entire cohort. We have a group thread that we keep in touch with. We ask silly questions. We share war stories. We ask for referrals, advice, connections. And so it's just continued in the, I guess it's been 3 years since we graduated somehow. But I wouldn't trade that. And I would recommend it to anybody who's a young lawyer and a member of NCAJ, because it's nothing but a benefit. It really is.
Fantastic. How did the two of you decide that you were going to take on the adventure of becoming law partners and starting your own firm? I'm always very curious how people like decide, because it's a huge leap. How'd that happen?
You want me to go? You want to go?
Yeah, take a stab at it.
So, Amber, we were like 6-7 years out of practice at that point. We were at a point in our careers where we had to decide what we wanted to do. And there was always this itch that was needing to be scratched to run our own business, to be our own bosses, to take our own cases, to try our own cases, and be responsible for it. And I think we found that out through these discussions we had as friends. We hung out with other folks outside of our next class. We talked to other people who took the leap, made the jump, and it was confirmed almost every time we spoke with someone who had done it. It was like, yeah, we're doing this thing. Like, what? It was a joke at first, Amber. We were joking about it because we were at great firms working for great people. And, you know, some people thought we were crazy for doing it, and I don't blame them sometimes. But after a while, it was like, we can do this.
And I think Jacob hit on a good point. We talked to a lot of other NCAJ members that have done this. And just as NCAJ always is as a whole, its members are so supportive. And everyone we talked to, it wasn't, oh no, y'all are making the biggest mistake of your life. It was, y'all have got this. You're going to kill it. Go do it. And it's that support from NCAJ that was really kicked it over the edge and gave us the confidence to jump out and start our own firm.
Awesome. That's terrific. And how long you guys, it's been a little less than a year?
Almost 8.5, 9 months now. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
We haven't had the 1 year celebratory party yet.
All right. Well, we'll be looking for our invitations to that whenever you do. So how did your participation in Next help you or boost you? You've talked a little bit, Spencer, about how now you've like worked your way up into like positions of leadership in the new lawyers division and where you're chairing it now. How did your experience being involved in the Next group help you take on those roles, either in NCAJ or outside the organization? Because I know, Jacob, you have been very heavily involved with the mock trial program and taking law students mostly, right?
I think one of the things the Next program does a really good job is teaching you how to be a leader, and it gives you the confidence to be a leader. We spend a lot of our classes focused on those, what qualities make a leader, what qualities do you need to exhibit to be an effective leader? And I think the Next program really gives you that confidence to become a leader within your own organization and other organizations.
Right. Jacob, what was similar for you?
Well, I think at a very basic fundamental level, I wouldn't know half of the opportunities to be a leader in NCAJ if it weren't for Next. I wouldn't even know what doors to knock on. So, you know, one of the classes we do at Next is we go and we actually get to sit in a Board of Governors meeting. We get to observe committee reports and think sessions and you name it, bylaw changes. We didn't know half of that existed. And I think that's kind of something that we probably take for granted, but I remember that being very eye-opening for me. My mock trial participation is actually a little different, but I do serve on the North Carolina High School Mock Trial Program's Board of Directors. And NCAJ has been one of the biggest benefactors of that group and organization for years and years. And I think that's a great program. Frankly, I did that program when I was in middle school and high school.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And I had no idea what NCAJ was back then, but I'm really glad that they pitched in financially and otherwise to help make that program happen. But now it's a joy to serve on that board alongside some other great members who've rolled up their sleeves and put some time into that. It's a tough thing to pull off, but it's very meaningful.
So, Jacob, did you always know that this was your calling? You wanted to be a lawyer ever since middle school mock trial?
I thought I was going to be a starting safety for the St. Louis Rams for a while. That didn't happen. Actually, it's funny. I hurt myself playing football, and I had a buddy whose father owned a law firm, and he invited me to go do a mock trial program. And I was like, hey, this is kind of fun. And I really loved it. I kept doing it through college and law school. So I knew I wanted to be a trial lawyer. I knew I wanted to be in the courtroom. I knew I wanted to do trial work and represent clients like that for a long time. Too long. Embarrassingly long, probably.
Spencer, was this always your calling?
No, mine is the complete opposite. I went to undergrad thinking I wanted to be pre-med and be a doctor, and saw a movie that was about lobbying. I was interested in it, switched majors, worked for a lobbyist for about a year and a half in undergrad, figured out I didn't like the lobbying aspect as much, but I did like the legal side, and ended up going to law school. And law school is another similar trajectory where I went never thinking about being a trial lawyer, thought I would do corporate, and given Campbell's advocacy program, I switched. I had a good internship with the Court of Appeals, really fell in love with that. And that's what led me to the trial side of things. But no, I did not think I was going to be a trial lawyer from birth like Jacob.
So this is a question I had not posed to you guys before we started talking. So if nothing comes to mind, that's fine. But so you've been at this for 8 or 9 months running your own firm. Obviously, you have plenty of years of experience before that. What are the things that you've learned so far in your first year or so on your own that have surprised you the most? Anything come to mind?
Yeah, I can tell you the amount of admin work and the time I spend not practicing law. I had been told by several NCAJ members that how much that would take up your time as a firm owner and manager. And I guess I didn't take it to heart. And now that we've been up for 8 or 9 months, I see it. There's a lot more than just practicing law with starting a law firm.
Tons of other things, which some of it is fun to be in charge of. You know, you get to pick What does this look like? How are we doing this? What's our forms? What's our procedure going to be for things like this? How do we make our lives more efficient? How do we use different tools, things like that, which is fun. But it is something you didn't really have to worry about when you weren't running the place, or you weren't even invited to help worry about when you weren't running the place. But now we don't, that's part of our lives. And I tell people who ask, I'm working so much more now, Amber, but it's a different feeling. It's ours. That's kind of cool. And it's scary. It is the highest of highs, and it can be the scariest of scary moments. The buck stops with us, and that's not lost on us. But there's been some really rewarding experiences too, where it's funny, our first case that we settled probably a month into practicing at our own firm was a case that we probably wouldn't have taken 8 months later, but the client was great. And we probably spent four times the amount of time we needed to prepare for this mediation. And we were overprepared. We were anxious, frankly. And we settled the case. And the client was thrilled. And we kind of just looked at each other and was like, we can do this. You know, we can do this. It might take four times the prep work than it should. And the next time it won't, right? And the next time we know, we'll do some things a little differently, frankly. But that showed us we could pull some of this off.
That's great. So what do you guys do when you are like trying to leave the pressures of the buck stopping here behind? What do you do to unwind? How do you get away from the stress?
Yeah, we're going to see a concert in DC. I'm a big Dave Matthews fan. So I know there might be a couple listeners on here who are also big fans, but we are going this weekend up to DC. I kind of twisted Spencer's arm into tagging along. So we'll do some sightseeing. I love going to live music. That's just a blast for me. And it's a great way to unplug, where the only thing you have to worry about is what song are they playing next and whether you've heard it before and how long is the beer line. If it's in time, go get another beer. So for me, that's one of the things I love to do. And I mentioned mock trial. I coach a ton of trial teams. Campbell Law School, it's something I do for fun, frankly. It's volunteer work almost, but that's something I love to do outside of our practice as well. It's a way to give back, but I also get to stay really sharp on evidence, courtroom procedure, things like that. Sometimes you get rusty on.
Yeah. Okay. Spencer, how about you when you're not like accompanying Jacob to their stadium shows?
It's the same thing. I like to go to a lot of concerts too. Just trying to get outside, get some fresh air. I think that's so important. I try and walk daily and just clear my mind and put the practice of law away for a minute and just step outside. That's always been really important to me.
Do you walk with headphones or do you like just take them out and just listen to the world around you?
A little bit of both. Mainly I've got headphones on and I'm more of a country music guy. So I'm listening to some country, not Dave Matthews, but I have convinced Jacob to come to one or two country shows before.
Oh yeah. What country shows have you got Jacob to get to?
You made it out to...
Well, we went to Eric Church.
Okay. So you guys keep each other diversified in terms of like country and Western.
Exactly.
There's usually a period of time in the car where it's like, all right, dude, you got to give me a break here. But it's my turn.
So whoever drives gets to control.
Cool. So both of you are registered to attend convention, which is, gosh, by the time this is up, it'll be next week, I think. It's very soon. And obviously, you're both crazy busy with the new firm and everything else you have going on. Why are you both taking time to make it to convention this year?
I'll take a stab at that one. First off, I'm being forced to be there. I have to lead the New Lawyers Division annual meeting, but I'm sticking around for all the fun. My first convention was in Charlotte, and I look forward to it every year. It's just such a great place to meet new attorneys, network, and then catch up with old attorneys. The CLEs are always fantastic. The parties are fantastic. I mean, it's just a lot of fun, something I look forward to every year.
I think it's a no-brainer if you can get there. It's like you get to spend 2-3 days just immersed in the stuff we do with people who might know more than you know, who are great fun, who are friends you've only been able to connect with virtually or over the phone for the last year. And I think you invest a lot of time in these things, over the course of the year that it's kind of like the celebration of what you've done for the past year, the success you've had, and given the help you've given out, the work you've done, like Spencer's work as chair, all those things would get to be celebrated. But you get to learn to some of the best CLEs. It's the wizards. It's the professors of our groups who volunteer to speak on things that we are desperate to learn. And you don't get that anywhere else, in my opinion. I think it's pretty hard to replace that.
All right. Well, I guess I will see you both in person, face-to-face, in less than a couple of weeks at convention. Thank you guys so much for taking the time and being on the podcast and for continuing to support NCAJ with your membership and your leadership and all that you do. Before we go, I'd like to thank our Circle of Leadership program sponsors, Brown Moore & Associates, Edwards Kirby, Henson First, Johnson & Groninger PLLC, the Law Offices of James Scott Farron, the Law Offices of John McCabe, and Whitley Law Firm. These firms are supporting NCAJ's mission as founding members of the Circle of Leadership at the Gemstone level. Find out how your firm can join the Circle of Leadership at ncaj.com/circle-of-leadership. Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you have not already registered for convention 2025 in Charlotte, that's June 18 through 21, go right now to ncaj.com/convention-2025 and sign up. We will see you there.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Voices of NCAJ. For more information on the North Carolina Advocates for Justice and how to join or support NCAJ, please visit our website at www.ncaj.com.